Hello, this is Chris Stagg and welcome to episode 5 of Words and Sound. On today's show, I'm delighted to have none other than the ballet coach, Sarah Jouffeur. Sarah and I talk about her amazing career as a ballerina, her flourishing dance school and recent online lessons for all those people stuck at home but who want to dance. And it's the return of the Words and Sound quiz where Sarah takes on her specialist subject, Sex and the City. All of today's music is chosen by Sarah and some great ones in there today. All that coming up, but first, some music. Sarah, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
So where did it all start for you? Where did your love of dance and ballet come from?
So from a very, very young age, I think I went to my first ballet class before the age of 3. So probably just under age of 3. I grew up in Windsor. So I went to a local dance school in Eton, which was just down the road. And from what my mom and my dad tell me, I just took to it like a duck to water and absolutely loved it. I think my first ballet I went to see was probably around the age of 5, and that was wow. Sleeping Beauty, and just fell in love with it and decided right then and there that, you know what, this is what I wanted to do. I loved it that much.
was there a point as well where you thought, actually, this is what I want to do as a career?
Yes, definitely. And again, from really, really early on. I mean, I see it now with young children that I teach. I mean, a lot of children absolutely love it, but to really, really, you know, be able to do it yourself, there's so much that has to be just perfectly right in terms of your height, height and in terms of your kind of body makeup and things. And I think from when I was about the age of six, my dance teacher, who knew me so well, probably just as well as my own mum, just said to my mum, I think we should just watch her and there could be a little bit of talent here. And so probably from about the age of six, I would say we were starting to think, oh, well, possibly this could be the start of something.
I mean, it's opened since my daughter's been doing it. It really opened my eyes to, like, I've never considered things like neck length and the position of the arms and
yeah, absolutely. I mean, clearly classical ballet, all genres of dance have their own kind of disciplines, but classical ballet especially has such a discipline that sort of goes alongside of it. And one of those biggest disciplines is the posture. I mean, we always say stand like a ballerina, and that is a long neck and a straight back and hold your tummy in. And, you know, not only are you kind of thinking about all of the steps that you have to do, you're thinking just how you're standing. And I mean, I say to so many people now, if a child especially just does classical ballet, even for one term, you know, that discipline of posture hopefully will stand them in such good stead going forward in life.
So in terms of your own training, obviously you had a lot of great opportunities, but was there anything that stood out for you as being extra fantastic?
Yeah, I mean, so as I had said, I definitely knew from a very early age, this is definitely the route that I wanted to go. So going all the way up through school, I was very sort of definite that no, classical ballet is what I wanted to do. I had a clear vision. I would say when I hit the age of 11, I went to the Royal Ballet School summer school. So it was 1 week away from home, which actually is quite a young age. Mm. And I loved it. I really, really loved it. I sort of soaked up the entire atmosphere and being around like-minded girls and boys of my age, and just, you know, absolutely loving it. And then, you know, I was dancing by that stage probably four times a week after school, still at my local school, but every single weekend without fail, I was up to London taking part in various shows, competitions, auditions, all thanks to my my amazing parents who would ferry me left, right and centre. And then age 16 was probably the big turning point to audition for classical vocational school. And I was awarded a scholarship to the English National Ballet School in London. So that was it. I upped and left Windsor, went up the road to London, and there I was for the next 2 years to train professionally, and loved it.
And you had a year, I think this was when you were professionally dancing in Paris as well. What was that like?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely wonderful. I'd always said I was never too fussed about moving abroad to dance. There's a lot of opportunities for sort of young dancers. And I say young, I'm talking about the age of sort of 18, 19, to go to lots of European cities. And for whatever reason, I don't know, I wasn't too keen to go and do that. However, I grew up spending a lot of time in France as a child with my parents. And Paris was the one place I just said, if anything ever does crop up, I'll go. And it did. It cropped up, and off I went to Paris to dance out there for a year. And just, I call that my sort of my university year. I obviously doing the job and the career that I did, I didn't go to uni. So my Paris year was my university year. I absolutely loved it and made some amazing friends to the point that I'm getting married later this year. And three of the girls that I danced with in Paris are going to be my bridesmaids.
Well, firstly, congratulations.
And thank you.
How wonderful is that as well? That's really lovely.
Yeah, it is very, very special. No, they're very dear friends. And I say that now to quite a lot of my students. You know, going through life, of course, we all go through different stages in our lives and meet friends along the way. But when you're doing a profession such as classical ballet, you go through so much together mentally and physically that actually those bonds that you're forming with those people are so tight, you'll never lose them. It's nice.
Do you have a real favorite ballet that you've actually been to see yourself? For me, I always thought, oh, I considered myself to be quite cultured, but ballet was something that had skipped me by. And then a few years ago, I bought my wife tickets for us to go and see Matt Bourne's Swan Lake. And I was, I mean, I went along because, you know, I wanted a nice evening out, but I was absolutely blown away. I couldn't believe, you know, I guess I had a real misconception about what ballet was. And it was watching that that I thought, this is incredible. So, you know, they're so highly trained and physically beyond what I could understand is possible. So, I mean, was there something that you've seen that really you felt that, wow, that's incredible?
Tough one to call, because there's so many ballets. I would have to say my all-time favorite ballet would be Romeo and Juliet. I love the music. There's a score by Prokofiev, and it's the most beautiful music. And the scene that will always stick out for me is the balcony scene. To anybody that knows Romeo and Juliet, they'll know that's a very poignant scene in the entire story anyway. And the choreography is just beautiful. I was fortunate enough when I was with the EMB, English National Ballet, we danced, they're housed at the Royal Albert Hall. So very different to a proscenium art stage. So obviously you're dancing in the round, which as a dancer makes it 10 times more difficult, because obviously you have audience from 360 degrees around. But yeah, I mean, I danced in Swan Lake there. And I mean, if anybody's ever seen Swan Lake and knows the Tchaikovsky score, it's the most haunting music anyway. And I defy anybody not to be so enraptured by watching about 60 to 70 swans on stage, all doing the exact same thing with dry ice. I mean, it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I would say Romeo and Juliet is my favorite ballet, but to have danced in myself, definitely Swan Lake at the Albert Hall and the Round. It's just, it's magical.
Tell us about your teaching career now and your dance school as well.
Yeah, so I stopped performing. Sadly, I had to stop professionally dancing. I had an ankle injury which required surgery. It was a long-standing injury, but it just meant that I couldn't dance up on point anymore. So
because I've seen, we'll come on to your online teaching in a minute, and I've seen you dance there. Are you saying then that it doesn't mean you can't dance anymore, but it means you can't dance at the highest level?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I can, of course, I can still dance now. I do still occasionally put on my point shoes, especially if my students, it's their first couple of lessons on point, I will absolutely put my shoes on and sort of, I feel the pain now. I think back, how did I do this so much? But you haven't done it for a while. Yeah, you can definitely feel it. But it's to a professional level. I wouldn't be able to perform to the level that I used to at all now. But I always knew that no, teaching was what I was going to do. And I think similar, I guess, to football. If you've, I always use that as a bit of a simile. If you've devoted your life, and I mean my entire life, to one thing, quite frankly, unless I'm gonna retrain and do something else in a totally different field, I don't know really what I would do if it weren't choreography or teaching. So that my decision was pretty much made for me. So yeah, after surgery, I decided, nope, I'm going to teach. Did all my qualifications. You know, I wanted to accelerate through them. So I became fully qualified. And then, yeah, started teaching. I started initially just going into some nurseries and doing some sort of music and movement and baby ballet classes within nurseries. I actually went back to my local dance school where I trained from being a very, very young age in Eton. I went back and was fortunate enough to teach for her. And we have a very, very close relationship. That was very special. And now, no, I own my own dance school in Woking in Surrey, which is where I'm based. And I teach little ones from 18 months all the way up to adults, 6 days a week. So it's busy.
What's your dance school called?
It's Dufour Dance. Dufour Dance. So, before I get married and change my name, although I decided I'm going to keep my name for professional purposes. Yes, that's my school.
I mean, it sounds fantastic. If you're going to have a career in ballet, that's the sort of surname you want as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, good old French surname, definitely.
You mentioned about that another option open to you was choreography. Is that something you've done or you would like to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, obviously with the school, we put on annual big productions, which actually there's a lot of work that goes into big school productions in terms of costumes and lighting and naturally the choreography. I've got an incredible team of teachers as well that that I work with. So I teach classical ballet, obviously, but we do classes in tap and modern dance as well, and as well a little choreography. Contemporary. But I love choreography. I really do. And interestingly, growing up, going through ballet school, I didn't actually think I was too creative in terms of choreo. But as I've gotten older and teaching now, and I think it's an experience thing, I do find my ideas flow a little bit easier than they did perhaps 10 years ago. So I do like it, yeah.
So how did your online teaching come about? I mean, obviously the crisis that's going on at the moment, but is it something you did before, or is it purely been in response to the isolation?
So no, it's definitely been something that it's been in my mind for a little while now, actually. And I've having taught for quite a long time, I mean, I've taught now for goodness, 11 years, and speaking to a lot of people along the way, and ballet traditionally is something that perhaps a lot of people feel maybe a little elitist, or, you know, perhaps is financially not viable for people to get their children to a dance class. So I thought, well, there must be a way of potentially bringing classical ballet to everybody, to people that perhaps dance all the time, but likewise to people perhaps that can't financially afford it, or to people who would love to do it but perhaps are a little shy. I hate to be stereotypical, but, you know, a lot of boys, ballet is not just for girls, and I'm a huge advocate of boys dancing. I really am, and I know firsthand that there are so many little boys out there that would love to come, but they are just so petrified of being one little boy in a studio of 15 girls. So you know what, if they can be happy for 30 minutes in their living room and learn to dance, then surely that must be a good thing. So it's been in my head for a little while. I started doing some, I set up my Instagram page, about 2 years ago now, and started just taking some fun photos of myself sort of out and about in doing everyday things in everyday clothes. And then as this awful coronavirus pandemic has hit us, I suddenly thought, well, my dance school is closed. Every dance school in the world is closed, and people still want to dance. I still want to dance. So I just started putting some miniature versions of my classes out online, and have just been a little overwhelmed with the response and the interest. It's just been fantastic all over the world.
So this is now the let's put a timestamp on. This is week beginning the 30th of March, and this is the second week you've been doing it?
So this is the second week, yeah, exactly. So I started last Monday. So this is what, day nine, as I did Saturday and Sunday last week as well, of doing online classes. I've now got people all over the world. I think I've got well, one of my videos that I posted for little ones, I think has had over 160,000 views. I mean, it's gone a bit crazy. So, the ballet coach classes have just gone mad, and it's wonderful mad. I've been inundated with messages and photos.
You do it in your living room, don't you?
Yeah, I've turned my living room upside down. The rug's gone. The sofa's been pulled back. Yeah, the lights
have got it. Have you naturally got that space, or have you had to move all the furniture out of the way?
I've had to rejig a little bit. We're fortunate that we've got a lovely smooth wooden floor, so there's no carpet, which isn't ideal. We roll back the rug. My other half has had to live amongst studio lights that I've got up and sort of tripods here and there. But you know what? It's worth it if I'm bringing hopefully a little bit of happiness into people's living rooms.
To get down, 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 down. Dance. Woo. Nothing left for me to do. you can go much faster. I know the people's time can be so cheap. Hey, I've got this brutal child ingrained on me. I'm gonna use my power to ascend. You know I've got this burning hills to use, such that there's no way I lose. I was born to rock and bound to last. You never see my feet cause I move so fast. Dancing, hey, nothing left for me to do but dance. All these bad times I'm going through, just dance. Hey, got candy in my ears tonight, baby.
To keep clean.
Skyscrapers bloom in America. Cadillacs zoom in America. Industry boom in America.
Wealth in a room in America.
Lots of new housing with more space.
Lots of doors slamming in our face.
I'll get a terrace apartment.
Better get rid of your accent.
Life can be bright in America.
If you can fight in America.
Life is all right in America.
If you're all white in America.
You stay on your own side.
Free to be anything you choose.
Free to wear devils and shine shoes.
Everywhere crime in America. Organized crime in America. Terrible time in America.
You forget I'm in America.
Ah!
I think I go back to San Juan.
I know a boat you can get on. Bye-bye.
Everyone there will give big cheers.
Hey! Everyone there will have moved here.
We're going to have a break in our interview with Sarah Jouffert to take a quick look at some of the opportunities available this week. First and foremost is Sarah's own ballet coach live streams, where she delivers lessons from her living room to yours to get some exercise and ballet instruction. I mean, this is really, really fantastic. I've been watching these videos. I've had a go as well. And if I can do it, then absolutely anyone can. It caters for all ages and all ability levels. There are several classes on most days, and all the details will be in the description. But that's The Ballet Coach on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Next up is a great opportunity from Director's Cut. Lockdown Open Up is an initiative to motivate and inspire storytellers to open up and share using their lockdown experience as inspiration. They're looking for scripts or videos 1 to 2 minutes in length. They're opening up their virtual doors to receive submissions for Lockdown Open Up during every day of lockdown, and are open to take submissions from storytellers across the world. They'll be reviewing submissions as they come in daily. Some of these submissions will be used in one of their upcoming showcases at Southwark Playhouse. Others will be chosen and cast to be rehearsed and released online channel, along with some of the video submissions they receive too. All submissions to go to info@directorscuttheatre.co.uk. And lastly this week is from The Comedy Crowd, as they team up with Loco Comedy Film Festival and the British Comedy Guide to present a special screening event at the BFI South Bank London. They'll be showing the best of new independent comedy to an audience, including inviting industry guests. A short list of the best entries will be screened, and an overall winner will receive £250. Your submission should be a sketch, short, or episode that works on its own and gets to the funny of an idea that you'd like to develop further. It must be a maximum of 5 minutes and needs to fall into at least one of these categories: animation, music, how-to, or famous faces. The deadline for that is the 15th of May. You can find out all the details on the Comedy Crowd website, the link to which will be in the podcast description.
Side of me, love remains a drug that's the high and not the pill. But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can't be seen? Baby, I can pay you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, stranger. A man can tell you so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. Baby, to me you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become
sunshine can't be seen. So much a man can tell you, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. To me you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a large and the light that you shine can't be seen. On the grain. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels, yeah. Now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grain. Yes, I can pay you to a kiss from a rose on the grain. Your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grave.
You broke my heart, 'cause I couldn't dance. You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake 'em down.
Do you love me?
I can really move.
Do you love me?
I'm in the groove.
Now do you love me?
Do you love me? Now that I can dance.
Watch me now.
Hey, work, work,
work it out, baby.
Work.
Well, you're driving me crazy.
Work, work,
just a little bit.
when you're doing these videos, you can see how much you're enjoying it. And it's more than just the actual teaching lesson. I like how you stop and interact with people on the social media as well. The first video I saw of yours was the one you did for the smaller age group. And it was just so lovely to see when it was like a spaceman kind of story, getting them to do some basic moves and things. It was really nice.
Yeah, I like to do that with all of my little classes. I mean, I'm a huge advocate for teaching the foundations of classical ballet, but I really believe that below the age of sort of 4 or 5 years, children are going to learn a lot more if they're having fun. So if I can somehow incorporate the foundational basic ballet steps into, let's say, a story or an adventure, that actually they're going to be learning marching or be learning skipping subconsciously. Mm. We're off to, for example, this morning we all went off to the circus and had a great time.
That's really lovely. I mean, I've seen as well the feedback people are getting, people showing pictures of them taking part as well, is really nice.
Oh, it's just been amazing. Truly, after all of the videos, I sit on my sofa afterwards with a cup of coffee and I go through the most amazing photos, videos, you know, such kind words that people are saying from truly all over the planet, and these beautiful little children who are so desperately missing their dance classes, just forgetting about all of this awful stuff that's going on in the world, and you know what, for 25 minutes just putting a big old smile on their face and having heaps of fun, which at the end of the day is what it's all about.
So it's now time for my favorite part, which is the quiz.
Uh-oh.
everyone gets really nervous about it. So.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit nervous now. I won't lie.
Remind us what your specialist subject was.
Such a cliche, but Sex and the City, my all-time favourite series ever.
Well, we've got lots of questions, actually, but it's too late to see how far you can go. Are you ready?
Oh, God. Okay, yes, go for it.
Here we go. Sex and the City was a HBO series based on a book by who?
Candace Bushnell.
Correct. How many series was Sex and the City on air for?
6 series.
Correct. Which actress had a no nudity clause in her contract?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Correct. What drink made a huge comeback thanks to it being the girl's drink of choice?
One of my all-time faves, Cosmopolitan.
Correct. Who played the role of Big's second wife, Natasha?
Ooh, crikey. No, definitely don't know that one.
Bridget Moynihan. Where does Trey propose to Charlotte?
Oh, in front of Tiffany's.
Correct. In the first season, Miranda is dating 27-year-old Skipper Johnston. What does he do for a living?
I want to say he's a IT guy or a web designer.
Web developer.
Oh, what, great.
What name does Charlotte have picked out for her future daughter?
Oh, it's Skylar or Skylar?
I'll give you half. That was from Breaking Bad. It's Shayla.
Oh!
What newspaper does Carrie write her Sex and the City columns for?
The New York Star.
Correct. Miranda and Steve have a son. What is his name?
Brady.
Correct. True or false? None of the girls wear the same outfit twice.
No, that's false, because I want to say Carrie wears a dress again.
Correct. True or false? Charlotte converts to Judaism to marry her true love, divorce attorney Harry Goldenblatt.
Yes, she does. Yes.
True. Correct. Carrie has a relationship with Steve's best friend and partner at his bar. Who is it?
Aiden.
True or false? Big's true name was not revealed in the TV series until the series finale.
No, it gets revealed in the last ever episode.
Correct. What's Big's full name?
John. James. Preston.
Correct. Wow. Do you know, I think you might this is the second series, and I think you might have got the best ever score.
Really? Impressive. I am truly over the moon. I haven't watched Sex and City for a really long time, but I won't lie, I used to be impressive. A bit of a super fan.
Okay, I'm going to have a quick count up. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You got 14.5 out of 15.
Oh, I take that. I am doing a celebratory dance on my chair right now.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. I nearly run out of questions. So I never run out of questions. I normally have about 10 left and I've got 2 left for you.
Oh, I'm super chuffed.
So these two, I thought you might get. So the last two bonus, we'll give you a bonus round.
All right.
The two-part series finale, who does Carrie run away with to Paris?
He was played by Mikhail Baryshnikov, Alexander Petrovsky.
You're just too good, because that was my next question.
Yay! Well, I would always have known that, because he was a dancer, amazing dancer.
I think I only know of him through The Simpsons, because there's a very old episode where Bart learns ballet and his teacher says to him, so you think you're the next Baryshnikov? That's the only time I learned. I thought, who is this guy you're talking about? I mean, I assumed it was some sort of dancer.
Yeah, amazing, amazing Russian dancer in his heyday. Beautiful dancer, yeah.
Well, there's going to be a prize at the end of the series. And I don't want to say that you've already won, but wow.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a bit upset about my half point now that I lost. Damn.
You were very close.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you.
So, Sarah, what advice would you give to aspiring dancers?
So I would say work hard, attend as many classes as you can, listen to your teacher, listen to all of the constructive comments and corrections that they're giving you, and be prepared to work hard. For classical ballet, you need to love it 110%. And if you work hard and you want to do it enough, then you know what? There's no greater reward than doing that. And you know what? If you love it, you'll do it. That's what I say.
And could you just give us your social media, your website details? And we'll put them up on the podcast description as well afterwards. Oh, if you know them off the top of your head.
Yeah, absolutely. So please do, follow me on Instagram and Facebook. I'm at The Ballet Coach. And my YouTube channel as well is The Ballet Coach. And all of my videos, I'm live pretty much every day at the moment, apart from Sundays. So all of the videos are on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And then they will get saved there afterwards as well. So you can go back afterwards and watch them anytime. There's classes for all ages. And my website is under construction, because I've obviously had to work a little faster at the moment. I had no idea it was going to take off quite the way it is. So hopefully theballetcoach.com will be launched very soon as well.
I mean, I would normally ask as well, but I'm guessing the answer is no. But any events and things coming up?
sadly, with the nature of everything going on, at the moment, no. However, I have been... inundated with lots of people just saying, you know, will you please be able to carry on some online tutorials or something even after this awful situation continues. So I am working really, really hard right now to just put together lots of content that I can put onto my website and onto a bit of a channel that people can, even when we are out of lockdown and we're able to get back to our studios, if they just want to carry on dancing with me, they can do. So I'm working really hard right now under our rules and regulations that we're all having to confide to. Hopefully soon I will be able to continue teaching people online from the comfort of their own homes.
Sarah, thank you so much.
Brilliant. Thank you so, so much, Chris. It's been so much fun.
Well, thank you to Sarah for joining me today. Do check out her social media for The Ballet Coach and get involved with those ballet lessons. As I've said before, I have tried them. They're fantastic. And if I can do it, so can you. Really, really a lot of fun. All of the links that Sarah mentioned will be in the description and on the Phoenix FM website. Special thank you, as always, to you for joining me. Time for one more track. This is Romeo and Juliet, Opus 64, Act 1, The Balcony Scene. Take care. I'll see you all soon.